Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Undiluted Word podcast. I am Dara Dara, your host, and I'm excited to be back again with another episode that will hopefully enlighten you, encourage you, and also be educating. If we cast our minds back to this time last year and I asked you what PPE was, you probably look at me and give a bit of a puzzled look, like, what are you talking about? What is PPE? Healthcare workers are probably a lot more familiar with the term PPE, which actually stands for personal protective equipment. And there are a few other jobs as well that do require the workers to have a specific gear or uniform to help them perform their job to the best of their ability and whilst they're also being protected. So fast forward to 2020, a year that has been filled with weird and wonderful surprises. I'm sure you may have experienced a time where you've had to run back into the house because you've forgotten your mask. You arrive at your destination, whether that be the shop or you've only just stepped out of the building and you realize, oh, I forgot the mask. Across the world, a lot of people are having to wear a mask now because, of course, we have this coronavirus that has been going on for majority of the year now. And as a result, we've all had to resort to wearing PPE on a day-to-day basis to protect ourselves from this deadly but unseen virus. So, a few months ago, I came across this quote by Mark Finley, and it ignited a deeper study in understanding what my spiritual PPE is. And the quote says, "Spiritually speaking, you and I are on the front lines, and without having personal protective equipment, we can be infected with the virus of sin." That's deep, right? I'll say it again. Spiritually speaking, you and I are on the front lines, and without having personal protective equipment, we can be infected with the virus of sin. So this episode, I am going to be talking about spiritual PPE. If you don't already know, and I hate to be the one to have to break it to you, but the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield. What do I mean by this? From the time that you decide that you want to be a Christian or you want to be a follower of Christ and change the way that you act or behave, there is now a target on your back. When I cast my mind back to about 8 years ago when I got baptized, I was very excited to be on this new journey in my faith and just really be all about God. However, the devil tried so hard. I remember I wanted to like fast, do something like how Jesus did. He fasted for 40 days. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to fast because I think that's going to be good. And I'll try and get closer to God and just really be disciplined in what I was doing. I think I didn't even last the first week. I became so ill and I was like, yep, I don't know what this isn't going to work out at all. And I'm pretty sure it's just because the devil doesn't like it when people decide that they want to live their lives for God. And as a result, it meant I had to change how I was going to do that fast because I eventually ended up doing it. And the fast involved me fasting from watching EastEnders, which I now no longer actually watch, and fasting from a lot of secular music that I was listening to at the time. I can talk about that in another episode. But yes, like the devil is not happy when you decide that you want to now become a Christian and to live your life according to God's way and will for you. And because of that, he's going to try a lot harder. Therefore, we are on a battleground. We are in a battle. Since the beginning of time, there has been a war between good and evil. And this fight takes place primarily in our minds. Christians are described as being soldiers. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, it says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith." And so there's always this analogy of fighting. Soldiers go to war. They're not going for a picnic or a walk in the park. They're going into battle, and that is what we must do as well as Christians. Know that we are in a battle. The same way I talked about healthcare workers and other professions such as firefighters, for example, need the correct gear to do what they need to do. Soldiers also need to have the correct gear to fight. If not, they're setting themselves up for defeat. what you wear when you're in warfare can really be the difference between life and death and victory and defeat. So Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Just like we are fighting an invisible enemy, coronavirus, with its deadly consequences if you do catch it and you do not know, and now you've caught it, a lot of people have died from it. The numbers are telling you how many people have died from this deadly virus. We as Christians are also fighting in the spiritual realm, and as a result, we need spiritual armor, special armor, God's armor, to actually defeat this enemy and to be able to be successful in this warfare that we are fighting. So you may be asking or thinking, what is this fight about anyway? The flesh is fighting against the spirit, and our spirit is also fighting against our flesh. And the outcome is overall who our master will be, who is the master of our lives. The flesh relates to our senses and the world around us, and then the spirit relates to things of God. Satan wants us to live according to the flesh, whereas Jesus or God wants us to live according to the spirit. It's impossible to win this war with physical weapons or our own strength, and so we need special PPE, God's very own. In Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 18, which I'll continue reading now, it explains what this armor of God is. Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." So I'm going to break down each segment of the armor and explain why it's important for us to wear this armor. Unlike the way I've seen some people wear their mask in a variety of different ways, so I think there are quite a few different groups of people with masks. You have some that just don't bother wearing them at all when they're out and about. Then you have people that wear their mask properly, of course. Then you have those who have their mask as some type of chin guard and does not cover their nose, or it's hanging off their ear, or something strange, just not wearing it properly. However, if we are, as we said, soldiers going into war and a battle, we need to make sure we are wearing this PPE properly. We can't afford to be lacking in any area, because if you're lacking, that gives the devil or Satan, our enemy, a way to actually overcome us or overpower us. So it's very important that we wear the armor of God effectively and properly. So I'll go into each segment now, and the first is the belt of truth. So the belt was used by the Roman soldier to hold up their trousers or their like undergarments together. Without wearing this, they'll be very uncomfortable and it'll be difficult for them to move around when in battle. So the first thing to do whilst preparing for any type of spiritual conflict is to know the truth. It's important to have a strong foundation of the truth if we are going to be successful in battle. So what is the truth? These are the biblical beliefs that we have as Christians and the doctrines that we have grown up with and understood for ourselves. God's truth of who we are, and then the victory that Jesus won on the cross for us. And if you don't know what you stand for, it is so, so easy to be swayed. We have Jesus who says, "I'm the way, the truth and the life" in John 14 verse 6. And then you have Satan, who is the deceiver. He loves to lie and he tells so many lies. Throughout the Bible, you see how he just wants to deceive people. Therefore, it's very important that we know what the truth is, because if you don't know what you stand for, it's so easy to get swayed when someone brings across something that seems to be legit. In John 8 verse 32, it says, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free." The truth sets you free from the power of darkness that we were once enslaved to and held captive under. And another aspect of the truth is that the truth is part of God's character. It is who he is. And so it's very important for us to know God's view on any subject. This is the way, this is how we are going to be able to tackle sin when sin comes about. Because when you know what God wants and what God's view on the subject is, you know that that's the standard that we are meant to be working towards, and not just a man-made standard or any of the deceptions that Satan wants to throw our way. So, as I said, it's important to know the truth, respect the truth, and live by the truth. That way, you always be ready to give a response for the faith and the hope that you have. If you want to see victory in your spiritual life, you're going to have to start with God's view on a matter. Many times in our spiritual war, we love to get everybody else's view on a matter. Even I do this. I'm guilty of doing this. We go and talk to other people, get their opinions on how we should maybe proceed in a certain matter before we actually then decide to go to what God says and what is God's standard with regards to that matter. And that is very dangerous because we know that Satan is very deceptive and he can use anyone really to deceive us into thinking that what we are going to do or what we intend to do is the correct thing. As I said, once again, only the truth will set you free. Moving on to the next item in the armor, we have the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is used to protect vital organs such as the heart and the lungs, and this protects the soldier during close combat. And so we are told here to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is the quality of being morally right or justifiable. This is not our own doing. We didn't do anything to deserve this. However, we received righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus did on the cross, which was to die for our own sin and our own wrongdoing. And this righteousness then makes it possible for us to enter heaven. However, as I said, the breastplate is going to protect your heart and your lungs. These are vital organs. The devil's strategy is to try to get your emotions and to attack that area of who we are. As I've said in the past, the heart is very deceitful. The devil will try to attack you emotionally. He'll guilt trip us and manipulate us because he doesn't want us to believe that Jesus' work on the cross makes us righteous. Every time we sin because our flesh is weak, he comes and he condemns us. He says, yep, you've been terrible. This is why you don't deserve any. You don't deserve to be in heaven. He accuses us and reminds us of the sins that we have committed. But we need to remember that through Jesus Christ, our sins have been cancelled. He sacrificed himself for our sin. And then our role now is to believe that we have been made righteous. We have been made right through Jesus' work on the cross. Satan attacks our emotions and our feelings. So we need to know that we are not saved by our feelings. You can feel horrible about yourself and what you do, but that does not mean that you are not saved. And vice versa, you may feel like amazing. You might feel like you are the best person on the earth, but then that does not mean that you are saved. We are not saved by our emotional experiences. So you can have really strong emotional experiences, but that does not necessarily mean you are saved, and vice versa. What makes us saved is to have faith in the death of Jesus Christ and know that that is a sufficient sacrifice for our sins, even though the devil will try to make us think and believe otherwise. So, God calls us righteous because of our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and this is the breastplate that guards our vital organs. The devil will try to make you feel as though you are unworthy, but it's very important to remember the truth, which is back again to the first piece of the armor. Moving on to the gospel of peace. So back in the ancient times when Paul is writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, the Roman soldiers wore leather sandals, but these were like makeshift footwear with thick animal skin with a leather strap. And if you're really poor, you probably wouldn't be able to afford such type of protection for your feet. However, in ancient battle, what the enemy might do is get sticks, which they have sharpened and they've buried in the ground, almost like our modern day landmines. If you stepped on it barefoot, you'd be basically disabled. And so it's very important for the soldiers to have good footwear. And here we're told that footwear is the gospel of peace, which is a firm foundation. So footwear is a foundation. Without adequate footwear, you can't fight properly. Because imagine stepping on like something sharp and now you can't walk. You're basically unable to now fight properly in battle. You're uncomfortable. Tough times. Very tough times. So it's very important that you have solid footing. You can't be wishy-washy. You need to know where you stand when it comes to certain issues. You need to know what the Bible says, which you always have to turn back to what the Bible says about any issue. And as I've always tried to let everyone know, the Bible is there to guide you through any problems that we feel as though we are having that are apparently new. There is nothing new under the sun. So any issue that you face, there's always something in the Bible that gives you a principle on how to work through whatever that issue is. And as I said earlier, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Don't let the devil deceive you and don't be swayed by every doctrine that appears to be true. These are his tactics. You always have to test everything that someone tells you against what the word says. So even as I'm telling you things as well, you also need to check it up with the Bible yourself and be informed to know what it is that you believe and why. The gospel is the foundation for all we do. And what is the gospel? The good news. The good news that Jesus came to die for us, to die for you and me and our sins that we have committed. And that is a good, solid foundation to have because that is the foundation of our faith that we stand on. Without what Jesus did on the cross, everything else falls apart. So it's very important to remember the cross and how that helps you now in your day-to-day living and tackling what the devil then tries to do and to deceive you to think otherwise. Moving on to the shield of faith. We are told in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We win when we have faith. We're able to win in the battles of our lives when we have faith in God, in who he is and what he has already done in the past and what he intends to do in the future as well. Faith will allow us to fight our temptations, the doubt that we have, the guilt that we may be feeling, unbelief, and the accusations that the devil also sends our way. Faith can even help us tackle anxiety, which are all these things are the arrows that the devil throws at us. And this shield now is able to protect you from these fiery darts. That's what the Bible text says. Faith sends the darts back to Satan. Faith says, I trust God and he's greater. He's going to help me win this battle. So I'm on his side. Faith is also essentially trusting who and what God is saying, even when the situation or battle appears otherwise. It's depending on God's ability and not our own. I'll talk more about faith in the future, but in terms of faith, the devil is so sly and sneaky in terms of he wants us to doubt God's word. In Genesis, you have the scenario in which you have Eve and he tempts her to eat the fruit. And the way he does this is by saying, has God really said? Is that what he really said? He makes her doubt what the word says and the truth, which we've already spoken about earlier. It's very important for us to make up our mind to understand what God's word says about a situation or an issue and then stand by it. Because if you don't know what it's, if you don't know what the Bible says, when Satan comes and says, did God really say that though? But did he really say that you can't have sex before marriage? Did he really say that you shouldn't do this? Did he really say that you shouldn't lie? Did he really say that you shouldn't covet? If you are in your word and you understand what the Bible has said about that matter, you're able to be bold and confident and say, yes, he did say this. Before you know it, that sends the devil packing. I'll talk more again about the word later on. In Genesis 15 verse 1, the Lord tells Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And in Proverbs 30 verse 5, it says, God is a shield to those who take refuge in him. God is our shield and our refuge. He's our hiding place in the day of difficulty. So essentially, God is our shield and he's the one that's going to shield us from all the fiery darts that the enemy sends our way. That is why it's very important to have faith in the word of God, the character of God, who he is, the promises he's already given us and what he says he will do. Moving on to the next item, we've got the helmet of salvation. As you already know, the helmet will protect your head, i.e. your mind. And this is where the battleground really takes place. I believe our actions are a result of our thoughts. And the devil wants to play mind games with you. And when he's able to get into your mind, he's able to affect how you then behave, essentially. A key point, don't play the devil's mind games. Satan wants to plant evil thoughts into our minds. So if we don't guard or filter what our mind processes, we become filled with the filth that he wants to use to defile us and make us unable to actually win in our spiritual warfare. Satan's strategy is to attack our minds and fill us with discouragement. He makes us feel as though we should give up. He makes us feel as though it's not worth being a Christian in today's society, and that there's not much benefit to it, and that we are maybe missing out. And as a young person living in today's society, where a lot of people maybe don't have faith or have a religious background, it can get very difficult in terms of still sticking by what God says, because the devil just makes you feel as though you're boring. And he also makes you feel, as I've already said, that you're so unworthy of being saved by God, and that we're so far into sin and far deep into sin that we are unredeemable or we can't be saved. However, we are told here to put on the helmet of salvation. And I was reading a commentary which I really enjoyed. In the Bible, the helmet of salvation is also referred to as the helmet of hope of salvation. And salvation has three tenses. The first is that we have been saved from the penalty of our sin, and that's by what Jesus did on the cross, justification. We are being saved from the power of sin, and so that is sanctification. And then in the future tense, we shall be saved from the presence of sin, and this is where we are essentially going to be with Jesus and God forever in heaven. This is the glorification. So we need to keep the hope of the glorious future we have with God in our central view, because when we lose sight of this, Satan can do all sorts of things with our mind to deceive us and to discourage us from believing that we are justified and we've been sanctified as well. So my advice to young people like myself, living in the society where Satan does fill our minds with discouragement and feel as though what we're doing is not worth it, is to not lose sight of eternity. Living in sin obviously can be seen to have a lot of advantages, but these advantages are very temporary and they will eventually have some eternal consequences. So it's very important for us to keep that in the back of our mind. So essentially, we must consider the eternal consequences of a life lived in habitual sin. This is not just falling into sin here and there. This is one that is marked by sin and has no intention of wanting to turn to God. So as I've said, the helmet protects the head. With regards to not allowing the devil to play mind games with us, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This protects us from Satan's mind games. In order for us to prevent having maybe spiritual concussions, you can say, we have to think correctly. And a good formula for this is in Philippians 4 verses 8 to 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So the way that we are able to protect ourselves from Satan's mind games is that when you do start having some thoughts that are a bit questionable, use this sort of checklist in Philippians 4 verse 8 and 9 that I've just said to see whether or not you are playing Satan's mind games with him. Make sure that you are thinking correctly and not falling prey to Satan's tactics. So in summary, this helmet of salvation, which in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. The helmet of hope of salvation protects us against wanting to give up. It gives us hope and assurance that God will triumph and he is going to win this spiritual warfare and battle on our behalf, as long as we also decide that we want to be in partnership with him in this war. Knowing that the final battle has already been won for me makes me glad, because I am assured that God has the final say and Christ is coming back, and devil is not going to have the final say. He is lost. The next piece of armor is a sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. And this is probably my favorite piece of armor. I'm probably not meant to have favorites, but I do love the word of God, because this armor allows you to attack and also defend yourself. It's not passive. You need to be able to use the word of God. Simply put, the word of God helps you fight lies with the truth, which we've already spoken about earlier. So the Bible is not a magic charm or like a tie, something you tie around your neck, the way garlic drives away vampires. We must look at it as if it is a word of God, divinely written scripture. If we are not confident that the Bible has been inspired by God, that means we're not going to really have any faith in it or effectively use it as we should. Soldiers will practice using the sword before they go into battle. They don't just go into the battlefield and then start learning how to use a sword. They have already practiced and practiced how to use it effectively so that they can actually fight. So, likewise, we also need to effectively use the word. We must read it and practice what it says, not just read it for our leisure and just read it for reading's sake, like a storybook. Now, in terms of using the Bible as an attack mechanism and defense mechanism, I'm going to take you to the temptation of Jesus in Matthew. You can read this for yourself later on in Matthew 4, verse 1 to 11. We have three temptations from Satan towards Jesus, and Jesus has three comebacks using the scripture. In order for us to be able to win in spiritual warfare, we need to become familiar with the word. If not, the devil will use it against you. The same way I said the devil used the word to deceive Eve and then she eventually sinned because she wasn't exactly sure herself what the Bible had said and what God had said against eating fruits in the Garden of Eden. You basically need to have Bible study with the devil. He tells you one thing, you say, no, this is what God says, okay? In Psalms 119 verse 11, it says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Without having the word of God in your heart, it's very easy to fall prey to Satan's attack on you in terms of falling into sin. When I am tempted to commit a sin, I like to remember a scripture to fight that back. Whether it's you're tempted to lust, you remember a text such as flee from youthful lusts. Flee from fornication. Fornication is a sin against your own body. Bible texts like this remind you exactly why it is that you do not want to sin. It serves as a reminder. If you're tempted to be prideful, I remember a text that talks about pride goes before destruction. And pride is one of the things God hates. He detests it. So why should I then be prideful? It keeps you in check. And the best way to remember scripture or to remember the word is by sharing it with others. The more you use the word, the more you'll remember it. That way, it's not going to become a rusty sword. Doug Batchelor, one of my favorite pastors, says, the Bible keeps you from sinning, or sin will keep you away from the Bible. The choice is ours. The final piece of the armor is prayer. Prayer is so, so, so powerful. I'm reminded of a song that I used to sing throughout my childhood. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and he ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. So we need to use prayer as our first resort in any situation. When prayer is our last resort, it shows that we at one point were too confident in our own abilities and we thought, yeah, I can do this by myself. However, prayer is literally the key in terms of breaking these strongholds in the spiritual realm. In our first episode, Waiting for the Bart, I've already explained how Daniel prayed and then there was a war going on in heaven before the prayer was able to be answered. And that's because there's that warfare going on there. In Mark 14, verse 38, Jesus says, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're also told in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil wants to surprise you. He wants to knock you off your feet before you even know what is going on. That is why we have to be prepared at all times. And the way we can make sure we're prepared at all times is by being in communion with God, being in prayer, persevere in prayer. Prayer is the best offense that we have in terms of spiritual warfare because it pulls down strongholds. Yeah, I don't know what else I can say about prayer, but it legit is the best thing that you can do for yourself. Prayer, prayer, prayer. So I've spoken about the different pieces of the armor, and it is very important not just to know about these pieces, but to then wear it. The devil is going to attack us emotionally with fear, despair, anxiety, depression, and then spiritually. He wants you to doubt the word. He wants you to doubt the love of God, doubt the faithfulness of God, just doubt in him generally. And so the armor protects us against the attacks of the enemy and the strategies that he uses. There is no point in having the armor and not making use of it. We've been given it freely by God. And if we don't decide to pick it up and use it properly, it's of no use at all in fighting this warfare that we are in, whether you like it or not. One thing that I found quite interesting when reading through what the armor of God entails or includes is that there is no protection for your back, because you have the breastplate of righteousness and then you have this shield that you probably have in front of you and goes to your side. However, there's no protection for your back. This means that God never intended for us to run away from the battle. We have to take a stand. And as it says in that text, we have to stand. Having done all that you can do, stand for Christ. Don't run away from the battle, because the battle has to be fought. And essentially, we will have the victory in Christ as long as we decide to put on the armor of God. I'll finish off with how the Message version also elaborates on this text that we have read. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that you'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and your sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. So, to conclude, the undiluted word points from this episode are: know the truth and know what you stand for. Remember that God has called you righteous. Have faith in God and faith in his promises. And remember that you have the hope of salvation, which gives us assurance of eternity with God. Attack the enemy with scripture. And remember the quote by Doc Batchelor: the Bible keeps you from sinning, or sin will keep you away from the Bible. And last but definitely not least, prayer should be our first resort. As I said at the beginning of the episode, I've seen loads of people wearing their mask incorrectly. And I'm sure coronavirus is not sympathetic to those that have decided not to wear their PPE correctly. Likewise, the devil is not going to be sympathetic to those of us that are not willing to wear our armor properly. The same way you hopefully remember to take your mask before leaving the house, I urge you to put on the full armor of God, which is your spiritual PPE, which will help you to fight against the invisible but deadly virus of sin that we are facing in our day-to-day lives. We've been given this armor of God, and my prayer is that we are able to actually enforce and really understand what each item of this armor is and be able to use it effectively in fighting in this warfare between good and evil. Having done all that we can do, I pray that we'll be able to stand on God's side and be on the winning side in this warfare against good and evil. So that brings us to the end of the episode, and I hope that you have been able to be encouraged by what I've said and also enlightened as to how we can fight in this warfare that we've been called to as Christians. I will be writing a blog post about this, and so by the time you're listening to this, there should be a blog post on www.theundilutedword.com. This helps you to just have a visual read again of what I've said and maybe send to other people that do not necessarily listen to podcasts. Don't forget to check out Instagram, theundilutedword_. Thanks once again for listening. Till you hear from me in about 2 weeks' time, stay blessed. Bye-bye.